This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service has issued a revised directive to update the list of safe ingredients used in meat, poultry, and egg product production, according to the cattle site. FSIS listed a blend of lactic acid, citric acid, and potassium hydroxide as a spray or dip for poultry, beef, pork, and lamb carcasses, heads, and organs. The directive includes changed labeling requirements for ready-to-eat meat products that contain tomato lycopene extract and concentrate. An aqueous mixture of peroxyacetic acid and a combination of sulfuric acid, ammonium sulfate, and water were added for use as antimicrobial substances. In addition, oat fiber and oat hull fiber were added for use as binders in whole muscle cuts of meat, poultry, comminuted meat, and poultry products. Soon, the United States Environmental Protection Agency should release its annual update to the renewable fuel standards mandates. Todd Gleason reports this year's RFS is very important to the biodiesel industry.
More often than not, when the federal government's renewable fuel standard is discussed, people are thinking about corn-based ethanol or other feedstocks that can produce ethanol. However, when US EPA finally releases the RFS mandates, supposedly sometime this month, it may be the biodiesel industry that pays the most attention.
The industry for which the RFS is a life-or-death matter is biodiesel.
That's University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin. Biodiesel, by the way, is mostly produced from soybean oil.
Because if the EPA would choose to go back to the statutory levels of the RFS mandates, at least for a few years here in the short run, it would launch likely the biggest boom in biodiesel's history. But if they choose to stay on the path of the proposals from late 2013, it basically cuts the knees out from the industry. So they're sitting there right on the edge, waiting to find out what happens.
This edge made the industry unhappy with the federal government earlier this year when it opened the door for biodiesel imported from Argentina to qualify as an advanced biofuel under the U.S. RFS mandates. Scott Irwin sees this move far more favorably than the industry.
I favor the position that the EPA is likely to move the mandate levels back up near or at the statutory levels, at least by 2015, if not 2016. That is going to necessitate a tremendous boom in biodiesel production, more than U.S. production capacity. So one view of the Argentine biodiesel announcement is that it's a precursor to them going back to the statutory levels, which would require that they can document that there's enough registered biodiesel production in the U.S. and outside the U.S. to fill the mandates.
It may be then that the January announcement allowing Argentine biodiesel to qualify as an advanced biofuel in the United States sets the stage for US EPA to follow the letter of the law as written by Congress. It's not possible to do so without additional gallons of advanced fuel from some source. I'm Todd Gleason.
The IAA Foundation will hold the fifth annual 5K Grow and Go, a race and family fun event. The event, which takes place on Saturday, May 9th at 9 a.m., will celebrate Illinois farm families and the important role they play in putting food on your table. Hosted entirely on the grounds of the Illinois Farm Bureau, Country Financial, and Growmark headquarters on Towanda Avenue in Bloomington, the 5K course has a cross-country feel with well-maintained grass, pavement, and a few rolling hills. Finishing times and results will be provided by the Lake Run Club of Bloomington Normal. There is a one-mile walk, and youth 10 and under can participate in the Cockadoodle Dash, which is a quarter-mile race just for fun. Proceeds from the race benefit Illinois Ag in the Classroom. After the race and walk, participants are invited to join an indoor open house featuring a hot breakfast and family fun activities. Kids can enjoy interactive learning stations and activities led by Illinois Ag in the Classroom staff and volunteers. The 5K and 1 mile walk registration fee is $20. After May 1st, the fee increases to $25. A $5 entry fee covers youth participating in the Cockadoodle Dash. Registered participants will receive a t-shirt, water stops, professional timing, and a hot breakfast. Those interested in attending the open house and breakfast only can purchase tickets for $7. Complete event details and online registration are available on the IAA Foundation website at www.iaafoundation.org or by calling 309-557-2230. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this. In 2014, dairy farmers enjoyed high milk prices. This past winter, they plummeted, and the industry is still wondering what prices in the near future are going to look like, especially since the dismantling of the EU quota system. For some advice on how dairy producers can decrease inputs and help out their profit margins, I spoke with assistant professor at the University of Illinois Department of Animal Sciences, Phil Cardoso.
The main cost for milk production is nutrition, or how to feed your cow. So feeding your cow should be costing you around 45% to 50% of your cost of your production. We know also that here, at least in the Midwest, you know that components, they play a lot on your milk check. So how much fat and how much milk protein you are selling has a direct impact on your milk check in the end of the month. So we really don't want to give up too much on those components. So we want to keep the volume that can add or can keep the income for the farm. So the main thing is to work on the highest cost, and the highest cost is feed. So one of the things that I think this year farmers should be looking at is really, really paying attention on forages.
Forages play a very large role in the diet of a dairy cow. This year, Cardoso says there's no room for low-quality forages. He focuses on the importance of getting forages tested for digestibility and mapping out the best rations based on these numbers.
Sometimes we do one test and then we forget doing it. The corn crop from 2013, we had a pretty good crop yield-wise, much better than the year that we had the drought, so we were pretty happy about it. Okay, we had a huge production, lots of yield. Now let's feed to cows. And something was going on. You know, farmers start seeing, hey, we start the new corn silage. We are not getting as much milk as we thought we'd have or we are supposed to. So actually what happened was that that corn silage for that year, for some reason that specifically we don't know what happened yet, but the digestibility of the corn, and then we measure usually by the NDF, that is a component of the cell of the plant, the NDF, the neutral detergent fiber digestibility was down. So usually you want to have your NDFD at 50 to 65%. That means that 65% of that material is going to be used by the cow. Those numbers were down to the 35s and 40s. And what happened was cows, they were just not producing milk. So one thing that happened is that when we start lowering the amount of corn silage in the diet and increasing a different source of soluble fiber, that is soybean hulls, for example, then we start getting back that milk production.
Cardoso says the bright side of feeding cattle right now is low prices of grain and byproducts, which can help dairy producers shave off some expenditures in the feeding program. To ensure the best combination of feeds in the ration, Cardoso advises on utilizing some online tools.
Usually in the Midwest, we are really favor on the amount of byproducts that we can use. So for example, distillery grain, corn gluten feed, soybean hull, wheat meads. Those ones, we can compare that to corn and soybean meal. So instead of using corn and soybean meal in our grain mix or in the diet of our cows, we can decide to replace that with distillers grains or another byproduct. So the University of Wisconsin, they have the FeedVal, and the last version is the FeedVal 2012 that you can find at the University of Wisconsin Extension website. And then you can type the values of that week, how much you're paying for corn, how much you're paying for soybean meal, and for how much can you buy distillers grain or the corn gluten feed. And then it's going to tell you a break-even price. So, for example, last year, by the end of last year, you could have paid $350 a ton for distillers grain. However, we could buy distillers grain for $170. So that means I can save money.
Other universities are also creating online tools and forums to help livestock farmers get information on the latest news and research in their area of interest. Cardoso highlights the University of Illinois Dairy Focus website.
The University of Illinois, in regarding to the dairy production, we have the online platform or website, if you want to call it, the dairyfocus.illinois.edu. So just type Dairy Focus at Illinois, you're going to find it if you Google it. And we have a newsletter where roughly every 1 or 2 months, every couple of months, so every 2 months, we are putting out information. We did a research trial last year where we visited 20 farms in Illinois, 20 dairy farms. So we got a lot of information from this farm. So usually we are writing things that are kind of related to the problems that our farmers are facing here in Illinois, to help them to improve and give some benchmarks to where their peers are. So there are some YouTube videos, the newsletter, YouTube videos. So I would suggest that dairy farmers that are interested in some more information, they can visit there. And it has all my contacts, everything there, and they can get more information.
Again, that was University of Illinois Department of Animal Sciences Assistant Professor Phil Cardoso. For more information on dairy research that can help improve your farm, you can visit dairyfocus.illinois.edu. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.